his texts, but not his sermon notes. So, I am a different person than my husband, obviously, and you guys get to find out if Phil's more like me or like his dad, which you've not seen yet. You can watch him on podcasts. It was quite the night, and he's recovering, and he hopes to be here tonight. That's the plan. So pray that in for him, that he just gets over whatever this was through the night, and we'll go from there. We're in 1 Peter, just the opening text, chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. It's a part of the series that Pastor's been preaching called The Holy Ghost, and today we're answering a question of why. Why would we want the Holy Ghost? Why do we want to be a part of this? So, 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Our mandate, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We're going to walk through, because I'm kind of short notice on this, I'm kind of doing expository. It's not my thing. I love expository teaching. I dwell under it. But when I teach, I'm more relational. I'm more, what does this mean for me today? And so I'm doing an expository wander and bringing what it means for me today. And maybe for you. So we'll see how that goes. We're actually in the full text. The outline is in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. I will be sitting up and down because my knee is a little on the tender side today, just so you know. These guys don't know I had surgery a few months ago, and I'm doing okay, but just taking care, that's all. 1 Corinthians 12, concerning spiritual gifts, verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. I love that sentence. We don't need to be uninformed about what God is doing in our lives, because it's in his word. He has directions for us. He has instructions for us. He has inspired words for us that can enhance and develop and process through us, that we become more like him. You know that when you were pagans, or perhaps before you even accepted Jesus into your heart, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Oh, some of the idols in our lives today aren't that mute. They're kind of loud in our world, aren't they? We get a little busy. We get a little caught up in things. One I'm guilty of is how much screen time? Different things. Are the idols of this world aren't as mute as we would like to think. Therefore, verse 3, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If we're using God's name in vain, I have a friend, she just cringes every time she hears people on the street use Jesus' name in vain. Right, Jean? When people, and you know what? In our walk, we need to get to that spot. When we hear content, when we hear language, when we hear stuff that just grieves our spirit, it shouldn't be just a surface, it's just the world. It's what they are. It's how they do. We can be grieved in our spirit for how people are treating and using our Lord's name. And so that's not me being fuddy-duddy, and my kids would say, oh, Mom, everybody's saying these words. You don't have to. You get to be led by the Spirit to use his name for the purposes it was given. And that's why when we say Jesus is Lord, when we're led by the Spirit to say that, it's not just a word, it's not just noises coming out of our mouth, it's a knowing in your spirit that Jesus is Lord. that he is the answer to everything that you're asking him about today. Everything that's facing your life. Everything that's troubling you. The mute idols of the world. Jesus is Lord. And he will work his purposes through you for his glory. There are different kinds of the gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Think about your families. Diverse as they are, as many people as they are, does everybody in your family do everything all the same all the time? No. We all have roles to play in our families. So I get to pick on my kids. Mom and Dad, we had a bit of we're first generation Canadians, so a bit of European stereotype, Dad head of house, Mom this and whatever, and we did all of these things, and then life evolves and grows. But we each had a role to play. So we get to know each other by how we operate with each other. And that's the same with the gifts of the Spirit that we'll list a little later. We get to know each other, who we are in Christ, by how we operate in the gifts he has given us to support one another. So, fun thing, end of last week, I saw someone after the service go to another person to lay on hands and pray for. We need that in the body of Christ. We need the people who know how to serve muffins. We need the people who know how to be intercessors. We need the people who know how to study the word and speak it to their family or their friends and live it out in their day-to-day life and whatever that's going to look like. We need each and every one of us to do the work that one God has called all of us to do. We all play a part. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I got to thinking about that. I was reading it at like 4 o'clock this morning when Pastor said, you have to preach today. There is nothing common about the gifts of God to each and every one of us. And I stand here to reassure each and every one of you, there is nothing common about each person. Because we are each, I preach this on Mother's Day, we are each uniquely created in the image of God to serve him for his purposes and to bring him glory. So in that, all of these gifts are for the common good that we as a body of believers come together in unity. There isn't room in the common good for someone to say, oh, this is my gifting. I'm better than so-and-so. I'm the only one who can do this. There is no room for that in the body of Christ. There is room for everybody to obediently and faithfully do the things that God gives you to do. Now, for those who are kind of new to how the gifts of the Spirit work and stuff like that, honestly, I would tell my kids this because they couldn't figure it out. And we were still growing up. They grew up in the age yet where they could, Bugs Bunny, cartoons. You know, the one where it's the good voice is the little angel and the bad voice is the on the shoulders, the cartoony thingies. And just like that, the Holy Spirit is a voice which we each have the opportunity to get to know well when we are in his word. When we are praying, when we are worshiping, when we are serving him to the best of our ability, and when he says, I want you to go and talk to so-and-so, and you kind of go, well, that's out of the blue. Happens to me a lot when I'm cleaning the house. And I take it as an excuse to stop cleaning, but you know, sometimes. Other times, it's like, okay, but I'll just finish this, I'll get this done, and then the name comes again. Okay, I got this to do. I didn't see him on Sunday. I heard they were going to have appointments, blah, blah, blah. And then the name comes again, and then it comes with phone him or visit him. That can be an audible thing in your spirit. If you're thinking about someone and it just comes out of the blue, the common good in that is God is leading you by his Spirit to at least pray for, at the very most pray for, and then to faithfully do whatever else he asks you to do in that. It's amazing when you call up a neighbor or someone you haven't seen for a while and say, God put you on my heart today. I do not have enough fingers and toes to let you know how many times I have obeyed. And the person said, you have no idea what that meant to my life at that moment. It was bang on. How did you know I was going through something? That is God's job. Our job for the common good is to listen for his voice, and we learn to know it as we read, as we worship, as we spend time in prayer, as we spend time fellowshipping with each other. We hear his voice and we do. There's nothing fancy about it. None of us needs a special skill set. You don't need a lot of money. You don't need fancy clothes. You don't need great hair. You don't need great skills. You don't have to be the best athlete. You don't have to be the best musician. You don't have to be the best kid who picks up after himself. You don't have to be any of those things other than God's son or daughter who knows the voice of their father, and you just do it. I am not going to bring up the Nike thing. I'm pretty sure others have, so it's a fairly standard one these days. So the listing here, and verse 8 on to verse 11 goes through a list of the different gifts of the Spirit. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So on that last note there, because it's God through his son Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit who determines what each of our gifts may be for that moment. If you, I've done this, I'm guilty of it, if you go around and go, God, I want the gift of this because I think it's pretty cool. It looks amazing. Please know that any of these gifts come with a price. Of some sorts. The first price is you surrender yourself to Jesus Christ. That's the very first price. Because you have to be living for him to call him Lord. You have to know the voice of the Spirit to be able to hear him when he is asking you to do something. And there's a price in that. For some, it'll be less screen time, more Bible time. Less watching TV. Or less hockey. Please let the season be over soon. But less of that and more of worship. More of being with your family. More of being whatever God has for you to do at that moment. God will ask you to do something and ask you to put something down. He's going to ask you not just to mute an idol. He might ask you to put it away and not ever look at it again. And sometimes that's the goals we have for our life. Oh, I'm going to graduate. I'm going to get a great education, make a lot of money, travel the world, etc. And those are all good. That is not a bad scenario. And yet when God calls, when he called me at 17 to go to Bible college to be in ministry, I wanted to be a nurse missionary to go around the world. I was my Dutch Reformed background. We always had the missionaries in my house. My mom did that. I love having missionaries in my house. And I'm like, God, why? Wow, what? I didn't know all what it meant at the time. And I struggled through, I worked through, I wrestled through. And the final answer came about as to why when I finally said, it's all yours. I have no idea how you're going to do it through me. I was the shyest of teenagers in school. If someone said, could you do a public presentation, they wouldn't have finished their sentence because I'd have been, nope, running out of the room. And when I had to for a project in school, like grade 12 French monologue, those are the moments that you live on, Anne. Eh? I feel the papers in my hands like this, and they're moving so fast, the words are not clear. I have no idea what I said. And then I had an amazing French teacher who told me in French that I had a great face for radio. So, it took me a few days to figure out what he said in French, to turn it into English, but it was that. And when I was sitting out doing chores for my dad, and just saying, God, I don't understand. Like, full-time ministry, that's pretty scary. That's pretty big. I'm 17, 18. Like, nursing sounds cool. Teaching sounds cool. Other things sound cool in that day, right? You know. But full-time pastor ministry? I was crying. It was a hot, sunny day. And I finally just sat down and said, okay, it's yours, God. My life is yours. Within 24 hours, I got my acceptance from Bible college because I had applied just to be my Dutch parents, pragmatic. Make sure you do all the good steps and take care of it just in case. So I had applied there and I had applied to nursing school. And I said, God, I'm not of this part of the Bible where there's fleeces, you know, God, if you do this, I'll know it's you. I said, God, if I'll go to wherever the first place that calls. Thought it was safe, you know, like, hey, it's going to, because I applied to 4 community colleges for nursing in my end of the province in Ontario, and 1 Bible college. I thought I had great odds here. The Bible college called first. Okay, I'm getting prepared for ministry. I'm getting prepared for what that's going to look like in my life. I'm getting prepared for what it looks like to be a servant who operates with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's another whole conversation, because up until my first year of college, and when we get into hearing to speaking in tongues and as personal prayer language, I had not received that as of yet. I had been totally blessed by some people in my church who made the interesting statement of, well, if you want to get to heaven, you have to speak in tongues. I didn't read that in the Bible. I took another look just to be sure. I didn't want to be disrespectful to someone older than me or older than my parents or my parents. And I said, Dad and Mom, help me figure this out. And I went to my youth pastor. I said, like, is that there? And they said, no, it's not. But my youth pastor said, if you like birthday cake, why don't you get the icing and candles on it? Make sure you get the good stuff too. And it has become such an integral part of my daily walk that for the moment I don't know what to say, God says through me. And I have visual memories, right? I'm sitting, it was a night class, we just finished, it was like 9 o'clock, there had been some prayer after the end of the class, or it was a prayer chain thing. My prayer group was praying for, at that day, communist countries in Russia. And I still pray for that. And at the end of it all, I said, God, if this speaking in tongues thing is of you, you got to do it, because I have no desire to manufacture it. I have no desire to open my mouth and just start making sounds. I have no desire for it to not be anything but from you. And I don't remember the words for the rest of the sentence that came out of my mouth, but they were not English. God, in his time, for his purposes, for the common good of the body of Christ, and for his glory, will give you everything you need to function in the gifts he has for each and every one of us. Now, another thing I had to work through, there's a lot of different gifts mentioned here, gifts of wisdom, of faith, knowledge, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, tongues, interpretation. That's a lot of different gifts. I may caution you now, don't pray for them all. That's a lot. Because each of them has a responsibility to it. Each of them has a responsibility to it. And while some of them may look cool, oh, it's or easier, oh, the gift of serving one another, that just means I'm going to make muffins and this and that and whatever. But it doesn't mean just that. It means giving your heart over, being obedient. When God says, so-and-so needs some help with this week, can you do it? Yes. That's what it means. It might mean you bring them their favorite thing from Starbucks. Pick up an extra something from, do you guys go to McDonald's? Whatever, wherever you eat from, pick up an extra thing for so-and-so already at the church. It can be whatever it needs to be. I have extra stuff in my garden. Someone could use some stuff this week. I have picked up extra stuff at the grocery store. Maybe someone needs it, and you get to bless someone. And that's what we're doing with the Big Give this weekend. It's a free event. We're gathering goods. And just a side note, I need a couple of trucks this week to help me pick up some stuff. If anybody has a truck and can help me, I'd like to coordinate with you. And I got a phone call from someone at a horse barn, and they're moving, and they want to give us their whole house of stuff. So I may need some extra trucks for storage bins. And then on Saturday, we open it up, and we set it in the parking lot, and a free yard sale to bless our community. Nothing else. We take no money. We're encouraged. If we want to talk about things of faith, it's let's talk about our walk with God. Not just that our church has this cool thing or that cool thing or this amazing thing. Talk about your walk with God with someone who needs to hear about Jesus that day. So we're going to serve muffins and coffee and hot dogs and give away a whole bunch of stuff and a free car wash and whatever. And we're just going to bless the address our church is at. People in our address. That's our goal. That is serving one another. Messages of wisdom and knowledge. They come as God leads. You get a thought in your head. It's like, I'm talking with my person. I'm sharing with them. I'm praying with them. And God says, say this. Please say it. Because that's God giving you something, not for you. It's not at all for you. It is for that person. It is for them to know that Jesus loves them so much, he's using somebody who doesn't know a thing about what they're going through and bringing a word directly to them. Transformational growth when we obey. Now, God will never ask you to do something that's against his will and purposes, that will cause you to curse his name, that will cause you to break laws of the land, that will cause you to rebel against family. He will never ask all of those things other than my 14-year-old self going to a Pentecostal church and my Dutch Reformed parents are like, they're weird there. And I accepted Jesus. I had heard about Jesus all my life. I'd done VBSs in our backyard, and I accepted Jesus about three times a week at VBS. And so and Jesus was part of my life, you know. Was I committed to serving him at that moment? Well, when it comes up, VBS is coming next year. I'll be ready. And I was 14, grade 9. Went to a music concert our church youth group had brought in. Some of our folks here know the Skinner family, Gary Skinner from Watoto Choirs. And anyway, Gary was my youth pastor when I was 14. That was his last youth pastorate here before he went back over to Africa to be the head of Watoto. And he said, your parents aren't keen, but God is calling you. So let's pray for them to see in you the change that Jesus brings and that you respectfully let them know that you love them, you have valued what they've put in you, but you are asking Jesus into your heart so you can serve him. It was the coolest explanation, and it worked. My dad thought it was a little strange that, you know, I was starting to go to church every night instead of this or that and whatever. But he was a bit of a workaholic in those days. But within the year, both mom and dad and my brother all came to know Jesus. We can pray for my brother. He walked away. He's still away from God. and I keep praying for him. But there are these things that God will work in each of our lives. And again, I caution, if you want one over the other because it looks better or it's more spiritual or whatever, none of these gifts is more spiritual than the other because they're from God. They're for his purposes, for our common good, to serve him, to bring him glory. So none of them is less than the other. They're all equally important. And when I look through here, I see of equal value and importance in our body of believers here that we all have a role to play. We all have something we can do. You may think you don't, but you do. We mentioned it earlier. If the very most you can do is pray, then that's actually an amazing thing because prayer moves the hand of God. When two or more gather, he is there. And when he is there, things are going to start shaking up. And they should. They should. I don't know how diligently some follow the news. I know some follow it incredibly diligently. I catch it before I fall asleep at night for a little bit and what's going on in the world and stuff like that. But I do know this. Our world is a mess. There is more need every day, more people crying out for more things to help them, and those are all good cries, and those are all neat things. And as the body of Christ, we do need to rise up in prayer, in faithful service, in obedience, to be whatever we are to be for wherever the need is. So we got a few things on the go here right now this month. We started on Mother's Day. We're doing donations for Haven Pregnancy Center for women who are unexpected pregnancies and challenging pregnancies to help them. The campaign goes till the end of Father's Day. If you need a brochure for that, we will get some more because it looks like we've handed out all 60 we were given, but we can get more if we need to. We support a Blue Bus, YSC Youth for Christ. And in that, we are a hand extended into 3 weekly sessions with First Nations groups and children in our community. And the 4th nation approached them this week. And that's the toughest one. The Pocatun Nation asked for YFC to come and do their ministry there. And they have not wanted God in at all. So there's been a change in their leadership and in their heart. Yes. Oh. Yeah. This is where we get relational. and Mr. Trevor over there, if I come up with a big word, which there isn't one today because this is like a 3 o'clock in the morning sermon, he Google searches me to make sure I said it right and said the right meaning. And I love it because I do want to make sure I am speaking appropriately and God's word appropriately for the right context. And that we also support our local food bank. And we are hopefully, I haven't got a start date yet. I need to meet with all the people who signed up for the Food Share Network to start the day where we'll pick up food from the mustard seed once a week and hand out hampers of food to our community. We're right beside a middle school. We're neighbors. We don't need super spiritual gifts to know that God has things for us to serve. But you do need God's gift to do it well by his purposes. The gift of tongues and interpretation, initially edification for yourself. Like you know your personal language, you know God is speaking to you, he is working in you. When it is in the public setting, there needs to be the interpretation. And honestly, if it's not driven by word from here, I've always been incredibly cautious because I say, God, give me your scripture word to go with it, to confirm. And that's okay. That is okay. So all these different gifts are the why for them all. While I look at, I have no idea, what's the count here today, Nourish? And I'm not, 80. I missed the zero on that one, sorry. We have 80. We have these different gifts. We have 80 individuals just in this room at this moment that God can, will, is looking for the opportunity to pour into each and every one of our lives to do his perfect and good will through the gifts he has given you for his purposes. And you know what? One day people will come in the building and go, I don't know what's going on here, but it's a really cool thing going on out here. They're going to know, because as people who are led by the Spirit operate in the gifts of the Spirit for the purposes of God's glory, people will ask. They will know, because one of the things we can say and do is, Father, by the work of your Holy Spirit, would you work on my friend, my relative, my coworker, my boss, my people at my job, my friends in my classroom? Would you, by your Spirit, lead them to you? And he does. And I know it for a fact, because my high school buddy knew I was Christian Reformed and prayed for me to come to accept Jesus. We met September, the first day of school in September. By October, I had given my heart to the Lord. God does move by his Spirit. First to comfort, secondly to convict, and thirdly to equip. And in all of that, as you walk through and know his word about each and every one of those, he does far more than any of us can do with any of the talents we have or think we have. He is more than able. This morning is a bit of a shorter sermon because I didn't have time to write a whole one. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. I'm going to ask, where is he? Trevor, could I ask you to kind of give a summary in prayer just before the worship team leads us in a couple of things? Thank you. If you could kind of give us a bit of a closing prayer, and then the worship team is going to have a couple more songs for us.